He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You haven't forgotten. I am so proud of you. It is a joy to have you here on this second Sunday in the season of resurrection. You know, the resurrection season goes all the way to Pentecost, and truly it should be a part of every single day of our life. We should wake up celebrating that. Well, this is a very special day in the life of the church, and I do welcome you all. We do have our annual church meeting today, which means that there's business that's going to be done as a part of this service. If you're visiting today, this is not going to be totally normal, but when you're talking about our church, I don't know that you can ever really use the word normal. But things will be a little bit different. All of you are welcome. All of you are valued. And I just want you to know that. We are thankful that you're here to worship together. So let's do that. I'm going to be reading from my cell phone as a reminder for you to silence yours. You know, by the way, I have to mention that I might actually get a text in this service today from my son Isaac. And if I do, it will ding. I have him on bypass mode so that he can get through to me. I need to hear from my son and know what's going on. So I do get it if your phone dings, but please don't let it ring. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Isn't that good news? That we have a high priest that beckons us to come boldly into the presence of our Father and receive mercy and grace. Let's bow before Him. Father, truly You are a great God. And we just rejoice in You today and we thank You today. Because every good gift and every perfect gift truly has come down from Your hand. Lord, we recognize that our lives are a gift from You. You are the one who made us. Our purpose, our plan, our reason for being comes from You. You are the one who has made us for a purpose. Our salvation and our hope for eternity comes from You. For You have bought us and You have redeemed us. And it is for You that we live. So Father, use this day, use this time, inhabit the praises of Your people and draw us close into Your presence. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.
You weren't in church today, brother. Are you ill? Or did you stay home for lack of will? Is your body tired? Or is your soul weary of the show? Worn from putting on a smile and walking in denial. So you just couldn't do it today, couldn't be here for the masquerade, didn't want to grin and bear it or attempt to prove your merit by doing good and doing well while trying to perfume the smell of your heart rotting in its shell. We're often accused of walking in denial, and every week you walk down that aisle to kneel at the altar and ask the Lord to help you not to falter. But waking up the next day, you put on the right face to show the world that you are good enough for God's grace. You come home and your heart is racing, trying to figure out how to stop all this racing. You're ready to get your shoes and start lacing, to begin facing the fact that you can't just play the part. That this has got to affect your heart. Brother, he only asks that you earnestly seek him, and he will respond and draw near and come in. It's not earned, not deserved, but offered. It's not gained, not obtained, but accepted. It's as simple as taken or rejected. It's not worked for, because your sin he already bore. He cries, come back to me. You cannot make yourself clean. I am the sacrifice. I am the offering. And any penny you could bring would be obsolete, because the atonement is already complete. So stop trying to add and just let me be your dad, and we'll use your time to save captives, and as one we'll begin to take action.
I'm going to skip some things, but let me just read this text, because I think it's important that we read the word of the Lord. And so from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19, this is the result of our high priest. This is a result of what God has purchased for us through his Son. This is his gift to us. Therefore, brothers and sisters. See, therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, it's there because we have a great high priest in the heavenly realm. It's there because we have one who knows and understands our infirmities, who, like us in every way, has been tempted and yet has not sinned. And yet, in not sinning, has borne our sin on himself. Because remember, Christianity is unique in that it's not a religion where you're trying to save yourself. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you bring. Christianity is a faith that says that Jesus Christ has paid the price. He and he alone has paid it all. All to him we owe. You see, it's not that works don't matter, but it is that works will not save you. Nothing that you do adds to or takes away from your salvation. It was paid in full through Jesus Christ. So Christianity is not about what you do. It's about what God did. And it's a one-time transaction for anyone who will come and receive it. Therefore, brothers, because of that, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father God, help us to internalize your word, to truly believe it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So there's something that I want us to grab a hold of today, and then I'm going to start showing some pictures. How many of you would like to see some images from this last year? Okay, how many of you, one of the main reasons you came today was to see pictures? I got to tell you, putting together a slideshow from Heather's slides is a very, very overwhelming task. There are literally tens of thousands of photos to choose from every year. And so my first shrinking got it down to over 800, which was too many. And it's down now to just about 670, which is still huge. I mean, you'd be here for the rest of the day if we do them slowly. So they're on a timer and they're going to scroll. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you just a couple of points. I'm going to come back to the sermon next week because I think it's a powerful message that you need to hear. But just a couple of things that I want us to understand what this church is about and what every church should be about. It's a place where you should know that you can come here and you will be accepted.
Amen.
As you are. Warts and all. No hiding. Okay? Be yourself. You don't have to be someone else. You need to be authentically you. God has only made one of you. And you're the only one who can live that life. So if you do not live it, who will? So you need to be authentic. You need to be real. And that's a place that we're trying to create here. A place where people can be themselves. Where we don't hide in shame. Because remember, shame causes us to hide. Shame causes us to compete. Shame causes us to measure ourselves against others. To find our value and our worth. But when we come to Jesus Christ, our shame is dealt with as well as our sin. We no longer need to compare ourselves with someone else because it's not about us, it's about Him. We own His likeness. We own what He says about us. We are children of the Most High Living God. Isn't that good news? Now, that doesn't mean we stop being sinners, but what it does mean is that when we come to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we quit thinking of ourselves as sinners. And we start owning the fact that we are saints, holy ones of God. Now that doesn't mean that we can't approach a brother or sister in humility and grace and say, you know, this activity I don't think is pleasing and acceptable to God. We do confront sin, right? We need to. It's important. We need to build one another up and encourage one another. And part of that is sin. In fact, the next part of the passage, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Ouch! In other words, if you just trample through the blood of Jesus and act like His sacrifice doesn't mean anything, you're in trouble. And so we want to live those holy lives, those purified lives. That's important. But here's the thing. We want to do this authentically, transparently, honestly, vulnerably. Because none of us has arrived. All of us are in process. And we're just walking together. We confront the sin, but we do it graciously. But here's the other thing that I want you to hear. And I'm going to stop with this, and then we're going to show some pictures. One of the other things that this requires is I want you to start thinking about your language to one another. Encourage one another. Add strength and courage to one another is part of this text. But encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many of you think the day is drawing near? Okay. So we need to be encouraging one another. That's coming alongside and adding courage and strength and ability to people. Okay. So what that means, I've lost you already. The first picture's up there and you're just gone. What that means is that we have to be very careful about our words. And we have to be very careful about our actions. And so I want you to start asking yourself a question. Am I setting someone free from sin or am I increasing their shame? With every single word and action, am I increasing their shame? Am I adding to their sense of worthlessness? That they're not loved? That they're not valuable? That they will never measure up? Am I adding to that? Or am I helping them to understand who they are in Christ? A child of God, forgiven, freed, honored, valuable. Now you know why things like gossip and slander are so bad. Because they cut and they kill and they destroy and they add shame to others. So when we confront sin, we do it graciously. We do it winsomely. We do it gently. We do it humbly. We do it privately. We don't call someone out in public. Okay? We do it in ways that are redemptive. The purpose is to restore. The purpose is to add life. The purpose is to honor and add honor. That's the kind of community we want to be. So when testimonies are shared, people can share their heart and their difficulty and their walk. And what they will hear is, we love you and we'll be standing by you and praying for you. We honor you and we care for you and we're here for you, my brother, not to allow you to continue sinning, but to walk by you and help free you from sin. Does that make sense? Okay, that's the community that we want. Roland Hearn, who introduced me to the topic of shame, said that what he's looking for, this is fancy, are therapeutic, loving communities. Therapeutic is healing. Healing with love. Healing through community. Because we need each other. Satan will beat you up on your own. He will whisper lies into your ear all day long. And you yourself will lie to yourself. We need the body to encourage us, support us, and draw the best out of us. That's why we're supposed to continue meeting together. By the way, it's a joy to see you all here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Father God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for making us one in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you that you have restored us so that though we may be separated by language or economics, by race, we can be one in Jesus Christ. There is no division in your body. There is only one head, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that. What a tremendous gift. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to praise you and to worship you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.